Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Palatial Yet Not Overly Ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Coming up at the top of the hour, former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Cordell Stewart will swing by. And then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, First and Goal, our season preview is winding down as we inch closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. I'm not talking about preseason. I'm talking about the regular season. We will preview the Buffalo Bills today, and we'll do so with a college buddy of mine and someone that plays for the Bills right now, linebacker, and does a great job on special teams as well, was a captain a year ago in Tyler Medicevich. And also producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
Tonight we have two preseason games, and there's four teams. And you know me, I don't really say ooh and ah about preseason. I just want to fast forward and get to September when these games actually start to count. But the four teams that we're going to discuss right now and the four teams that are playing tonight, I think three of those teams are really intriguing. Because for all three of those teams, you could tell me they'll make the playoffs this year, and you could also tell me that they're going to miss the playoffs, and I would believe it in different levels one way or another. So you have the Giants and the Patriots tonight. Daniel Jones will get some playing time. You have the Patriots. Mac Jones will not play. You have Tennessee. It is all hush-hush on who actually is going to play. Going up against the Baltimore Ravens, and we know that the Ravens are not going to play Lamar Jackson in preseason game number one. Let's toss out the Giants, because the Giants are going to be bad once again this year. It is a rebuilding year for the Giants. I feel like we've been saying that for the last 4 years. But now you bring in a new regime, and it's a regime that, even though you haven't seen much yet, I love the way that Joe Shane handled the draft, going on out and getting Evan Neal, and before that, Kayvon Thibodeau. I thought the Giants had a very good draft, and you have a football coach who is one of those coaches that was the hot commodity on the market. The offensive mind, the innovative offensive mind, was with Belichick, with the Patriots, was with Alabama under Nick Saban, and then the last few years really asserted himself, getting away from Belichick, getting away from Nick Saban, and developing the career of Josh Allen, who's about to embark, believe it or not, on his fifth year in the NFL. So when you look at the Giants, I like the synergy that they now have, where you actually feel like you got a big-time GM and you got a big-time coach. We'll see if it will eventually work, as a lot of these new hires are unknown. But for so many years, the Giants are bringing someone. You go, oh, that couldn't be their first choice, whether it was in the GM spot or whether it was in the coaching spot when you got guys like Pat Shurmur and Joe Judge. Clearly, they were not the first choices of the Giants in that hiring process and in that hiring cycle. So let's push aside the Giants, because I don't view the Giants as polarizing this year. I don't view the Giants as intriguing. This is going to be a year where you lay the foundation. You're giving Daniel Jones one more shot. And in reality, Daniel Jones is just not going to latch on as a franchise quarterback probably in this league, but definitely he will not latch on as a franchise quarterback with the New York Football Giants, because a year from now, last year's draft, it was all about for the Giants getting people in the trenches, whether it was Kayvon Thibodeau on the defensive side of the ball or Evan Neal on the offensive side of the ball. When it gets to the quarterback next year in the draft, and the Giants are going to be picking inside the top 10 you would anticipate, it's going to be, are you going to be able to land a C.J. Stroud? Are you going to be able to land a Bryce Young or whoever else those big-time quarterbacks become? As the way it's perceived right now, is this a deeper first-round draft class in quarterbacks, the way that we look at it going into this college football season than we did a year ago? So pushing aside the Giants, get into the other three teams that play tonight, the Pats, Tennessee, and the Ravens. The Patriots are a team where if they make the playoffs, I would not be surprised whatsoever. This was a group that went 10-7 last year with a rookie quarterback, and now the rookie quarterback turns into a quarterback entering year number two in Mac Jones. Here's my take on the Patriots. Their defense, I do not trust. On the defensive line, I like Lawrence Guy. I like Christian Barrymore. The linebackers, not strong this year. Secondary, I think the safeties are good. The cornerbacks, though, could be a concern. I am more concerned, even though we're going to talk more about the offense in this segment, about the Patriots' defense this year than the Patriots' offense. But with that being said, I do have one major concern on the offensive side of the ball. I believe the Patriots' O-line will be fine. I think the wide receivers, there's no true number one wide receiver, some that you look at and you go, wow, that is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. But I do think they have depth at the wide receiving position. And I think you just have good, very good wide receivers, no great wide receivers. That's fine when you have a young quarterback. The running back room, I'm a big fan of Damian Harrison. Ramondre Stevenson showed a lot last year. And I have been a believer, and I've said I've been a believer, of Mac Jones when he got to actually play at Alabama and then when we were debating where Mac Jones was going to go in the NFL draft. But my biggest concern about the Patriots is who's going to be calling the plays. And I had this theory that I was thinking about all throughout the summer, and it looks like it's not going to be true, where I really did believe that it was going to be Bill Belichick taking control of the offensive side of the ball and being so hands-on and calling the plays. Belichick, in this early stages of training camp and in the offseason program, he's been very hands-on with the offense. The feel, though, and the vibe and what people have observed so far from Patriots training camp and all the offseason activities is that the anticipation and the expectation is that Matt Patricia is going to be calling the plays. And I don't get that whatsoever. Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, both working on the offensive side of the ball, Patricia coaching the offensive line and going to be calling the plays, Joe Judge coaching the quarterback. It doesn't make sense to me. And we've seen before guys that coach one side of the ball switch to another side of the ball. And I can't think of a time in recent memory, and I don't know in the entire history of the league, where it actually worked. Remember Juan Castillo when he was with the Eagles? he got moved to a different side of the ball. That was a disaster. Joe Judge coached wide receivers for a season, was a head coach. I'm fine with him being back on the staff. Now he's coaching the quarterback, though? That doesn't register with me. But the one that really doesn't make sense, because at least Joe Judge had a year where he coached the offensive side of the ball, is Matt Patricia was an offensive assistant with the Pats, but that's going all the way back to the early 2000s. Now Matt Patricia is going to be calling the plays, or that's the expectation in New England. Make it make sense to me, because it makes no sense to me. And that's the one fear I have with the Patriots this year, or the biggest fear I have, even though I'm more concerned about the defense and the offense, is I'm a huge believer in Mac Jones. We talk about how much coaching matters, though, and the environment matters with the young quarterback. Bill, we all know, is an all-time great, maybe the greatest head coach of all time. But if the big-time coaching that Mac Jones is getting and the guys that are calling the plays on Sundays is Matt Patricia and Joe Judge is heavily involved in the quarterback, yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said I felt fine with that. Because it makes me feel a little bit, actually a lot, in a very uneasy way. And I still don't get it why the Patriots this offseason didn't go get Bill O'Brien to be the offensive coordinator. Because the teapot is at Alabama, and I would think he would rather want to be with the New England Patriots as an offensive coordinator. And say what you want as Bill O'Brien as an NFL head coach. I know it was ugly at the end in Houston when he got more power. The guy was an awful general manager. He was not a bad NFL head coach. Hickey, let me just go to you right here. Do you have any explanation? Does this make sense in any way? And I know you're a Patriot hater, so push that aside. But does it make any sense why it's probably going to be Matt Patricia, a failed NFL head coach, a guy that really made a name for himself as a defensive coordinator, is going to be calling the plays, or that's at least the expectation in New England for Matt Patricia calling the plays this year, when you're developing a young quarterback who I think very highly of in Mac Jones?
No, not at all. This is by far the worst case scenario for Mac Jones and the Patriots.
It's pretty damn bad.
Right? Like, you can't, if you try to rack your brain, could you pick a worse OC right now in the NFL?
Matt Patricia,
go to college,
no.
If you want. Yeah, I would agree. Maybe the Comac coach.
That I didn't like.
Yeah, and JV year. Maybe outside of him, there's no other worse option.
Hey, we don't need to keep on going back to that. I don't need that to stick. So then when I go eventually to a Comac football game this year, which I want to do, I'm getting booed, or I'm getting known as the guy that didn't like one of the coaches of the Comac football team. So watch your mouth there for a second. I tell you one thing, and now all you have to do is just throw it in my face each and every day.
I'm just saying that could be we're looking for worse options at OC. You said he's not there anymore, so who cares?
That would actually be a worse option.
So there we go. We found one. We found one guy on this planet that's worse than Matt Patricia. So it's the second worst option for Mac Jones.
I once again go back to Bill O'Brien. Why isn't Bill O'Brien back with the Pats as their offensive core? I thought that was going to be a foregone conclusion when the offseason started.
I did see a report that said he was worried that it would be a one-and-done situation.
Belichick?
Yes. He's the OC for a year. Maybe gets back in the good graces of the NFL and is gone for a head coaching job.
You know why that doesn't make sense to me? And you're maybe not wrong in terms of if Belichick brings in O'Brien, O'Brien does well. Let's say they get 11 wins, they make the playoffs. We see how often guys get second chances in this league, and I think we all know with Bill O'Brien, just don't make him the general manager, and you'll be fine. You'll get to the playoffs for a few years. Will he be able to hold off that want and that desire to have all control? That's something that we'll have to wait and see when he gets another job. But this is nothing new to the Patriots. I know McDaniels was there for a long time. The entire coaching staff has had a lot of turnover throughout the years. I know a lot of these guys did not pan out, but they lost Charlie Weiss. They lost Romeo Crennel. They lost Eric Mangini. They lost Bill O'Brien. They lost Josh McDaniels. This is not new to the Patriots. This is not foreign territory, but it was kind of approached this offseason. Bill's going to be hands-on with the offense, but then come game day, let's just hand over the offensive play sheet to someone he trusts in Matt Patricia. Now, if that was for the defensive side of the ball, I would get it. It would make sense because he has a track record before. And it's almost, here is where, I'm not going to say this is going to benefit the Patriots, but for anyone that's on the fence of Mac Jones, if Mac Jones has a big year this year or a very good year this year in the current situation where Matt Patricia, who has never called the plays before on the offensive side of the ball, is calling the offensive plays, isn't that even more of a ringing endorsement that the Patriots have their guy at the franchise quarterback position there, Hickey?
What was that? I'm sorry. I was trying to open Twitter. That's on me.
Gotcha. All right. My point is, what I was making was, isn't it more of a ringing endorsement this year if you're a Mac Jones doubter, if Mac Jones is able to get through all this stuff and still, regardless of who's calling the plays, have a big-time year?
100%. Franchise guy, lock him up. That's your guy. If you can repeat last year even better with Matt Patricia.
I'm just trying to think of a way where I'm going to be praising Matt Patricia in November and December. Like, if it's going well, doesn't he have to get some credit?
I would agree, yeah. No, he deserves credit if it goes well. I'm personally not holding my breath if it's going well.
What do you think the Patriots do this year?
I think they're around 8 or 9 wins. I think they're around 500.
Okay. So even though I wouldn't say that's a disaster. It's not a good season. But with this scenario, I hear people say disaster. You would then think it's going to be like a 5 or a 6 win team. I look at this team as anywhere from 8 to 10 wins. And that's me speaking as a Patriot fan. I think they're going to be 8 to 10 wins this year. So it's one of those scenarios where if the best I see is 10, and that's where they were a year ago, it doesn't make me feel like they're improving. But also, you're in a loaded conference and you're in a division that did get better with Miami taking a big step. We'll see if it translates to wins and losses with the name of Tyreek Hill being brought in Armstead as well and making a change at their head coaching spot. I don't think it's ever going to get really dark and ugly for New England in the next 2 to 3 years, but it doesn't make me feel great because you don't have someone that you could trust, in my opinion, calling the plays this year, but I still do believe in the quarterback. So if Mac Jones could go get 10, 11 wins this year with this crap of Matt Patricia calling the plays, man, it definitely shows anyone that's on the fence of Mac Jones, if he's a franchise quarterback or not, showing you that he can be. Now, in the other game tonight, Tennessee and the Ravens. When I look at them, it's both of the quarterbacks here. Now, Lamar's not going to play tonight. But until you get a deal done with Lamar Jackson, that's going to be the biggest storyline. Are they going to ever extend Lamar Jackson? And Lamar's going to have to make the playoffs this year. I think the Ravens are a Super Bowl contender. I do believe that Lamar Jackson can take this team very far in the playoffs this year. But just on the other way, if they're on the outside looking in come playoff time again in back-to-back years, you know what the narrative then is going to be about Lamar Jackson. Maybe that the Ravens shouldn't pay him all this money. I would not make that case. But there's already people with that narrative out there right now. The Ravens this year are a team I could easily root for because it almost is the way I feel about it is so many people aren't giving the credit and the benefit of the doubt that organization does deserve. Now, for Tennessee, the biggest storyline this year is how Ryan Tannehill will play without A.J. Brown. Because with A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown was sensational, Tannehill in a big spot, he crumbled. You'll see some Malik Willis tonight. I don't know if you'll see Ryan Tannehill at all in the game. It's kind of very ambiguous the way that Mike Vrabel did handle it this week. Malik Willis was thought to be a first-round pick. He ended up going in the third round. Will there be a point in the season where we actually see Malik Willis play, even though he's considered a raw prospect? Because you look at Ryan Tannehill, there's always that feeling, no matter how good he looks in the regular season, that there will eventually be a point where this comes down, crashes, and burns. So I'll just be curious when I look at Tennessee. If that happens, if there's a downward spiral early on in the season, how long of a leash Ryan Tannehill does have this year. And the preseason, though I don't love it, it is important to Malik Willis because that could determine how much hype and how much pressure there will be on Ryan Tannehill where he could actually see Malik Willis replace him this upcoming year. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, at Zach Gelb on Twitter and Instagram. When we come on back, Tom Brady, MIA, personal reasons, he's going to be gone for the next 10 days. Is that a cause for concern with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or is it no panic and all will be fine when the regular season actually starts? We discuss on the other side.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Tom Brady hasn't been at practice the last few days, and now he's going to be out for 10 days because of personal reasons. It makes you a little bit concerned what's going on with the Tampa Bay quarterback. Let's hear from Todd Bowles. He explains Tom Brady's absence.
Tom has been excused today. He will be taken anywhere. He'll be back sometime around after Tennessee. He's going to deal with some personal things. This is something we talked about before training camp started. We allotted this time because he wanted to get in and get chemistry with the guys and go through 2 weeks of training camp, knowing he wasn't going to play the first two games. He didn't want to take away reps from Blaine and Kyle and as well as Griff as far as going into these next two games, and it's something he needs to handle. We trust him. We talked about it. It was scheduled way before training camp, and he will not be here until after Tennessee.
So you hear that, and it's still very vague. It's okay, he has personal matters, and you respect someone's privacy, and you hope it's nothing too serious. But if this was prearranged beforehand, it makes it appears to be that this is like a vacation for Brady before the start of the season, and he's going somewhere with his family, and maybe he's celebrating something with his family. And for Brady, he's been doing this. It's now going to be his 23rd season. Does the guy know how to get ready for the start of the year? Absolutely. When come week one, do I think that there's going to be any rust that he's going to have to knock off because he wasn't there for 10 days? No. But it is bizarre with the guy that is usually so locked in and treats these reps as so important and never wants to give them up, other than the voluntary part. Because when it's voluntary OTAs and recently he hasn't showed up to those, I get it, that's fine. But now when you're in the, about a month away from the start of the season, you're in the thick of things, and yes, you're not playing in the preseason games, but to just go away from the team for 10 days as someone that's watched Tom Brady my entire life, that's not the Tom Brady that I usually know. I would not expect that from Tom Brady. That's why when I originally saw this report, I go, oh, something seriously must have happened. But then you just had Todd Bowles say that this was arranged and talked about way beforehand, and the team knew that this was eventually going to transpire. So let's get some more clarity. This via the Pat McAfee Show rap sheet. Ian Rappaport gave his report on Tom Brady's absence.
Here is everything I understand about this. It was planned. No one is worried. He's fine. It's not, to my knowledge, it is not a medical emergency related to him or, I believe, anyone close to him. I was told everything is okay. The best description I got about this was that it is important to find a work-life balance.
You know what this means? This means the end is very near for Tom Brady. And he had this weird retirement where he retired for a very short period of time and then came on back. You blinked, and then his retirement was over. I think this could be Giselle, if this is just spending family time together and there is nothing having to do with the health and safety of anyone, this is probably Giselle saying, Tom, you got to be present at home a little bit more. Because for 10 years, Tom Brady has sat at press conferences and go, if it was up to Giselle, I would have been retired 5 years ago. And then 5 years turned into 10 years. And she's wanted Tom to retire for a while. And she's even been open about it, whether it was in some of these documentaries he released. What is enough, Tom, for you? You've accomplished everything. This sounds to me as the way that Tom Brady was able to come on back was that he had to commit a little bit more family time. And it was one of these stretches of, okay, you're not playing in these two preseason games, Tom. So you got to be home a little bit because the practice, in maybe Giselle's mind, doesn't really matter. Do you think I'm on to something there, Hickey? Because that's the only way that I could wrap it around and think that this is just Brady basically telling Giselle, I'll be a little bit more present at home, but I got to go play football. And that's the way that he could justify it. Because let's be real. Tom missing 2 weeks, does it really matter at the end of the day? No. Does it change my expectation of the way that I'm going to view the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? No. But when you're on a team sport, and yes, people get preferential treatment in a team sport, but I've never really seen it go to this extreme. I know Dennis Rodman, that's totally different. He was able to go away from the team for a while and had to get away. But this is a quarterback. This is the leader. This is the heartbeat of your team. And he's not playing in these two preseason games. But for him to be away in its entirety, I don't think they practice again until Monday, I read. That's a little bit weird there, Hickey.
Especially when we're talking about a guy that has, you know, his main drive is motivation and competition.
He's still pissed off that he was the 199th right. overall pick in the draft.
So you figure, right, even if he's not playing the preseason games and he's been to a million training camp practices in Needham, it's still like this is a guy who's trying to be at his best, and you figure, at least maybe I did, maybe I'm wrong, he was, when he returned, he'd be all in locked. Like, he wouldn't half-ass it. He's either all in or all out. And so far in his return, again, maybe it's just an agreement he had with Giselle and he's already kind of planned for it. Not that he's half-assing it. It seems like his heart is not all in it, which I am a little surprised at.
It's also weird that we didn't find out about this, that if this was agreed upon until now. Don't you think the team would say, in advance, not just have him missing for like a day or two, and then had to go make the statement that it's 10 days. That's why it doesn't really register with me. And the one thing I'll float out there, they are having joint practices with the Dolphins ever since. And Brady's been involved in controversy before, and he's dealt with the media for 20 years. So I don't believe this is the truth, but I'm just trying to go through every reason. He hasn't addressed this whole tampering stuff yet. So is this a way, and is this the Buccaneers thinking, oh, let's have this story die down. We don't want him at joint practices. And I think he was there for one day with Tua. I'm not sitting back and reading each and every day of reports, but I did see that Brady and Tua had a conversation. So he had to be there for at least a day, but he hasn't been made available to the media yet. Now, we know when he's back, he's going to have to be made by rule available to the media. Is this the Buccaneers just telling Tom, go away for 2 weeks, and then you'll come back, and yeah, maybe you'll be asked about it, but not in as much intensity or frequency as you would if this was fresh off that tampering report that did come down by the NFL, which did involve Tom Brady talking to the Dolphins numerous times when he was in New England and then in Tampa Bay.
That was my initial thought, but then if I, like...
It's not going to prevent someone from asking the question 2 weeks from now, and also it
right,
would be the weakest...
Exactly right.
It would be the weakest thing ever, too. And that's coming from someone that loves Tom Brady, because this guy has dealt with a lot more serious issues. He dealt with Spygate. He dealt
Deflategate.
With Deflategate, which is the most overblown load of crap that I've ever heard or ever witnessed of. If he can't deal with, okay, some team wanted to go get you in the Dolphins, and they talked to you throughout 2019 and then also in December of 2021, that's why that one doesn't register with me.
He's also been asked about it. Like, the rumor's been out there. Like, we didn't, know the full details till like,
yes,
the kid.
But he's never talked about it until this officially came down, where it directly
links
him and says
season.
That this happened.
So it's not like the are the questions going to be that hard-hitting?
Well, put it this way.
Four questions, and then it's move on.
I'll be Tom Brady. You be a reporter. Ask me a question if, let's say, this was today about the whole tampering allegation.
Tom, how come you are not a member of the Dolphins?
I'm here to just talk about Tampa Bay's upcoming season. I'm all locked in, ready to go win a Super Bowl.
Tom, you're flirted with Miami twice. How come you didn't pull the trigger?
I don't remember those conversations with the Dolphins.
Tom, do you want to be here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to go, fired up for another season. Then, if I'm Brady, I would jump in and go, guys, no more questions. Let's move on and keep this on to this year's season.
Tom, is your amnesia okay?
But you liked how I did the Roger Clemens. I misremembered the whole thing.
I don't remember those conversations.
or any conversations that... This will be a Brady line. This is the most Brady line ever. Any conversations that I have remain private. If I wanted them to be public, then I would talk about them. That and then Brady would give you that like signature smile, and that would be it. So I don't buy that this is Brady being away because the Bucs don't want him to have to answer about this whole tamper thing, or Brady doesn't want to answer these questions because he could just deflect like that. I really do believe this is some arrangement that he had, and I'm hope. And obviously, you don't want it to be involved in, maybe this is hush-hush because it does involve health, but the reports are it's not involving health, and Todd Bowles said that this is something they agreed upon a while back. I really do believe this is a commitment he had to make to Giselle, and I know it's weird to think about these ways as Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen as normal people, but this is probably a commitment Brady had to make to Giselle, and he had to probably give up some things that he didn't want to have to give up so he could get the approval of his wife to come back to the NFL. And just the way that you looked at me, Hickey, you don't believe that for a single second.
No, you just saying that sparked the thought, like, if you're like, why not just do it earlier? Like, I don't know what they're doing. We have no idea, but like...
Well, he has skipped those voluntary OTAs before.
Right.
I think this is okay. You wave the white flag a little bit early on in August, when this really doesn't mean much to Tom Brady, rather than having to miss something else. This is a way that you get the best of both worlds. It makes like it feels like Giselle that, oh, Tom's going to be a little bit more present, going to be home and going to be involved and spending family time and all that, when this is usually a time where he's all locked in on football. It just delays what is the inevitable Tom Brady being a madman locked in and going crazy all football 24/7.
I was going to say, if you're Giselle, just a few days in
maybe
middle
Brady wanted
August?
A summer.
Maybe want to go on the boat.
That's all I got. Unless if this is them just hiding something else, and if it is something medical, then good health to everyone, and I'm okay because you don't have to reveal that stuff even when you're in the public eye. But they told you this wasn't health related, so I'm going to take them for their word. But it's just weird if this was agreed upon, why we would just be finding about this now.
What percent chance do you put it at him not coming back, retiring?
Are you serious?
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just asking.
Zero.
Zero. There's not even
Zero.
one 0.1% chance.
Unless if there's something wrong with his health, but I don't even want to speculate that. So if this is that he's going to now come back and go, I'm retiring and then going to Fox, Craig Olson, go back to chair number two, Moose Johnson, then we'll be throwing things since he's on the second team this year. I don't see how that, there would be no reason to come back after retiring if you then were just going to retire in August. Has that been floated out there? I've never heard that question asked.
I'm literally just asking right now because I'm just trying to throw anything out there. Like this is something we've never seen before.
Zero. That would be crazy. Wow. Next week on Monday, breaking news, Tom Brady retires again. Don't worry, he'll be back in a week.
He has an Andrew Luck-like press conference that me and you have something in common.
No.
Well, sort of. I guess it's the Bucs, so it's a little different.
Yeah, he's not on my team. And they were talking about the greatest quarterback of all time compared to Andrew Luck that, unfortunately, his career was derailed by injuries and didn't have the success like Tom Brady did. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Ron Rivera is trying to make you believe something that is just not true. We'll get into my favorite quarterback in the NFL, Carson Wentz, when we come on back in 5 minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I just had someone DM me. Someone slide into my DMs at Zach Gelb on Instagram, as the kids would say. Matthew slides into my DMs, hot take hickey, and he has a theory as to why Tom Brady's going to be away mysteriously for 2 weeks, for, you know, 10 days, not exactly 2 weeks, but he's going to be away from the football team Tampa Bay for 10 days. You want to hear this theory?
Yeah, let's do it.
School started in Florida, and maybe Giselle wants Tom home since school started. Yes or no? We put any validity into that theory?
Yes, I'll put some validity behind that.
Really?
What's the other reason?
Kids back to school. We need 10 days of Tom being at home.
I would agree. I mean,
to adjust to the schedule.
One of the reasons.
Give me a break. And I don't even know where the other child lives. Because one child's from, I know Tom never got married to Bridget Monahan, but it's from a different relationship. So for Vivi, and then I think it's the youngest is bad. I don't know, whatever. Whoever the youngest child is, or the middle child, and then Vivi's the youngest. Do you really need dad to be home for 10 days because someone needs to drive the kids to school? Or... I don't know, maybe Giselle has something in her schedule. She's not at home for 10 days. Like, could that be a possibility?
Sure, I'd be even worse then.
But then you have at least Tom home for 10 days.
And then you can't spend it with him. She's out somewhere else. I mean, I guess maybe, I mean, they can't find
a
nanny.
Maybe she had a commitment with her schedule. But then you would think, okay, how many nannies do they probably have?
Well, I mean, right. Like you'd think over their entire careers, they'd have to have one conflict
or
two.
And also, like, Grandpa
arise.
And Grandma can't come in for a week? Or one of his sisters can't come in for a
right.
week?
You'd think it would be no big deal to find.
I really do think I'm onto something, that before Tom could say that he was coming back, Giselle wanted some power here, and Giselle wanted him to give up some things that he usually doesn't give up, and this was one of the things he had to basically just give up 2 weeks of training camp. That's what it is to me.
When he retired, did you think now, with all the information we have, do you think he retired to quit the game, or do you think he retired in order to finagle his way to the Dolphins?
No. Well, maybe the Dolphins more so, but let's just go with the idea of playing football. I think this was more so he needed to kind of give Giselle what she wanted in the short term before he eventually plotted out his plan on how he was going to return to the NFL. Now, would it have been with Miami? That's a little bit different. Maybe that first step would have been, all right, I'll be a partner. And then we would eventually find out the other 31 owners would have had to approve if he was going to be allowed to play. And that would never happen. So that would have blown up in his face and also the Dolphins' face. But I really do think that decision to retire initially for the short time was to get out of the spotlight, have people that asking you, are you going to retire? Are you going to retire? Are you going to play? Well, what the deal is, just make the decision. And then you have those conversations at home. Giselle, honey, babe, I still want to play. And then Giselle probably came back and said, okay, well, I need you to be at home a little bit more and I need X, Y, and Z to change. And this was just one of the things that we could tangibly latch on to of Tom being away from the team from 10 days at usually a time period where he would never be away from the team. Because Brady talks about the importance of training camp all the time. I know he's not, like what Todd Bowles said, the fact that they agreed upon this, they knew this was coming. He didn't want to take away the reps from Blaine Gabbert and also Kyle Trask. Like, that's just, that's baloney to me. That doesn't make sense to me where it's okay, Tom's not going to play in the games, so therefore he doesn't want to take away the reps and practice from the other quarterbacks on the roster. That, to me, makes absolutely zero sense. So I think we're just in a point where this was just one of the things he agreed upon with Giselle. I don't know if there's a family function that they had to attend, something like that for 10 days or some trip. I don't know what it is. Then you could say, oh, well, wouldn't you just schedule the trip for another time? But I really do believe that this was something that Giselle was insistent on that had to occur if Tom was going to play football this year. And it just shows you in all these marriages, what the wife wants, the wife is going to eventually get one way or another at the end of the day. Doesn't matter if you're Tom Brady, even the greatest quarterback of all time. Okay, let's go from the GOAT to someone who is just an awful quarterback, and that is Carson Wentz. This is Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, who isn't buying the negative talk surrounding Carson Wentz, courtesy of SiriusXM NFL Radio.
The narratives are all unfair. I mean, obviously, he left each place for their reason. Okay, yeah. Great. That's their reason. He's here for our reason. He's right. Here because we want him here. He's here because we see what he can do. We see what he's done. And based on what we do, we see there's an opportunity. And that's why he's here. And we have a lot of confidence in what we've seen so far. The guys have all assimilated to him. They've rallied around him. And that's a huge plus because, again, based on what we went through for the last couple of years and probably before I got here, trying to find the quarterback.
I mentioned it on air. You've gone through seven guys. You've had seven different starting quarterbacks.
Yes, and now all of a sudden there's an opportunity for us to settle in on a guy. Let's do it. Let's get behind him. Let's give him every opportunity to succeed, and that's what we're going to do.
You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like to me a coach saying, he's not great, but we're going to support him because at least he's better than what we've had the last few years. And I don't know about you, Ryan, that does not sound like a ringing endorsement to me whatsoever. That does not sound like a coach, Ryan, that actually believes in his quarterback. He's just talking himself into believing in the quarterback because that's the move that the organization elected to make.
Sounds almost like he's trying to talk himself into it and the moment. Yeah, he's our guy. Yeah, we're going to back him up.
It's almost as if when you say you're going to go on a diet, and then for years and years and years, you've punted going on a diet, and you eventually know that you have to go on the diet. So you go, okay, I don't really want to go on the diet, but I have to go on the diet. So I'm going to go on a few extra walks. I'm going to buy food that's healthy, and I'm going to put it on the shelf. But at the end of the day, you still have to eat that healthy food, and you still have to move your body if you actually want to lose weight. So you brought in someone that you think is better, But are you really going to see big-time results if you're bringing in someone that I would still consider junk food? Because that's what Carson Wentz is. He's junk food. That's not a franchise quarterback. That's not someone that's going to be a great quarterback for the Washington Commanders. So you may see some results on that diet that are better than in years past, but you're not going to make significant progress with Carson Wentz as the quarterback. And you know that better than anybody because you were the biggest sucker of them all last year. Oh, here comes Carson. Here he comes to save the day for the Indianapolis Colts. And then in the big spot, it just exploded in a bad way for the Indianapolis Colts. It was terrible for you last year, right? You're still traumatized by it.
I'm still, yeah, it still brings back nightmares. Week 18, Jacksonville.
You still have post-traumatic stress from Carson Wentz.
Trying. Now I'm trying to be a good guy. I'm trying to be a nice guy and Warren Washington. Don't do it. Here's Ron Rivera sounding like I did last year.
I'm just going to ask you these questions because this is the narrative that's out there about Carson Wentz. You tell me if the narratives around Carson Wentz are unfair. The statement of Carson Wentz isn't a franchise quarterback, fair or unfair?
Fair.
The statement Carson Wentz is someone who turns over the football way too much in the critical moments, fair or unfair?
Fair.
Carson Wentz isn't a great leader.
Very fair.
Or unfair?
Very fair.
Why do you think that's very fair?
That's, I think, one of his worst qualities is leadership. He's very quiet, does not command a room, does not inspire confidence. There's a reason, I think, big games, towards the end of the games, they don't throw the ball.
Hey, not a coincidence. Here's also what doesn't make sense to me. It's the arrogance of the Commanders. Now, they had to go get a quarterback. I get it at the time Jimmy G wasn't. It wasn't known that he was definitely going to be available, but I think you could line that up that Jimmy G probably was going to be available. I know he was injured and was not cleared until August, but still you knew they were going to Trey Lance. We didn't know Baker Mayfield at the time when they pulled the trigger on the Carson Wentz deal was going to become available. So I can't crush them for that, but you'd rather have Baker Mayfield, you'd rather have Jimmy G, in my opinion, than Carson Wentz. But if you're going to tell me, if you're Ron Rivera, that the Eagles had their reasons why they moved on and the Colts had their reasons why they moved on. I know a lot of coaches think they could get someone else's garbage and turn it into gold, but why do you actually think, when it wasn't just one organization, this isn't Sam Darnold, who when he was with the Jets, the Panthers thought, okay, they could fix because it was just Adam Gase and his incompetence. This is a Super Bowl winning head coach in Doug Peterson, who told you, we had to move on. And the owner and the general manager, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, said we had to move on in Philadelphia. Then in Indianapolis, where Frank Reich was his biggest supporter, even go back to his days in Philadelphia, was the offensive coordinator. After 1 year, Frank Reich couldn't walk into the owner's office and Jim Irsay and also the GM's office and Chris Ballard and justify. The guy who was his biggest advocate couldn't justify bringing back Carson Wentz for year two. So what makes, and this would be my question to Ron Rivera, and I'll ask it to him next time he comes on the show. What makes you think that after Doug and Frank couldn't figure it out and have it work for the long term, that it will make you, that you'll be the guy that makes it work for the long term when you really have no relationship with the guy whatsoever in the past? And the Commanders have a nice roster, but I don't expect even with a nice roster, because the Colts had a better roster last year. And still in the big spot. I know people say, oh, the touchdowns, the interception, it wasn't that bad. The ratio was fine. It was a 3-1, 4-1 ratio. Tennessee, October 31st, disaster. Jaguars, end of the season, disaster. So my question to Ron Rivera is, what makes you think that you and your staff are not only going to have this work for the short term versus the long term when two other teams told you in the long term it was not going to work out? And I'd be fascinated to hear how Ron Rivera answers that question.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.